Joining us now to break it down is head of Denver Stiffs, of course, the longtime legendary site there, named after Doug Moe's, of course, favorite way to compare players, and the host of the Pickaxe and Roll podcast. Please welcome to the show Ryan Blackburn. You can follow him on Twitter at NBA Blackburn. How's it going, Ryan?
Sean, thanks for having me, and thank you for the kind words. It's okay. We're doing okay over at the Blackburn household, but I'm sure I put in a lot more effort into my dinner than the Nuggets actually put in on the court tonight.
Yeah, and what happened with this? Now, Michael Malone, over the course since this show started, of course, had an opportunity to talk and talked about the lack of effort. Once again, just before you came on, the third period issue rears its ugly head, and then the Nuggets just don't seem to play hard from that 7 minute period in the third. 7 minutes left, they were outscored 59-33. That just doesn't happen. I mean, you have to be basically surrendering points. That's 3 points a minute. How come this is still a problem?
It's always in the back of your head when the Nuggets don't have a guy who can settle things down other than Nikola Jokic. And Nikola just wasn't on top of his game tonight. It certainly felt like he hit a wall in that third quarter. I'm not sure what it was, but he didn't go to the free throw line tonight. He was settling for a lot of jumpers. He was getting pretty frustrated with the calls. And when you have somebody like him who you base everything in your schemes around, who when he's not playing well, things sort of really spiral. And the Nuggets, they didn't have another counterpunch when things were going pretty badly. It just shows the importance of Nikola Jokic, I think, that when he is not locked in, fully engaged, ready to go, and outplaying his opposing matchup, then these games are going to look ugly because they just don't have a lot of help around him, and there's only so much those other guys can do.
And we've seen in the Portland series, we're seeing in the first game of this series, that teams are willing at this point to let Jokic be a scorer, and they're not seemingly particularly concerned about how many points he scores. They're limiting his ability to pass, which in a lot of ways is what makes Jokic so unique. How do they find a way around this? Because I think at this stage, Jokic and the Nuggets should know that is coming. They're going to try to limit his ability to pass. They're not going to double team him, and they'll live with the fact that he'll make baskets. So how do you adjust?
I actually thought that the Nuggets got some pretty great shots in the first half of this game. They played well through Nikola, did a nice job with him in the pick and roll, used him on some DHOs with guys like Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter, Austin Rivers. And I just thought that Denver didn't hit enough shots around those actions in that third quarter, and especially in the fourth quarter, to really warrant any, like, being close at all. But it does start with Nikola, and it starts with him showcasing his willingness to be a scorer, showcasing his efficiency, being able to get to the rim, being efficient as much as he can, and putting pressure on the Suns to make that help, to try to send over other players. What Denver does when he's in the post, they do a lot of great things where they'll cut off ball, they'll set back screens for each other, they'll free each other up to create some easy shots. I thought that they missed a lot of open shots tonight. Austin Rivers goes 2 of 7, 1 of 4 from three. Monte Morris, a pretty ugly 1 of 10, 0 of 4 from three. Those guys are just going to have to be better. Those guys are just going to have to hit shots, and I think Denver sort of hit a wall when the shots stopped falling and Nikola just got a little frustrated.
After the game, Aaron Gordon used two very interesting words to describe it. He said soft and scared. That to me seems a little bit surprising. Now, I understand that Gordon's going to say, yeah, we played soft tonight. And look, they probably did. They settled for a lot. They only had 6 free throw attempts. That means you're not being aggressive at all. But scared, that's interesting. What do you think he might be referring to?
Well, it's funny because they were playing pretty scared, and they said as much in the game 4 against the Portland Trailblazers. And that was a pretty ugly game. That game got out of hand very quickly, sort of like this game when the run just happened in that third quarter. There was no recovering here. This team has the resiliency and the mental makeup to be able to come back when being called soft, when being called scared. It just takes the right mentality approaching some of these games. It takes the right mental focus, the fortitude. And this team has it. They've showed it time and time again that sometimes they need to be punched first. Sometimes they need to lose. Sometimes they need to be staggered a little bit to realize, okay, we have to come back out, or we have to put up, we have to hit them next and hit them harder so that they don't have, so that they can't get up. And I think the Suns, they had the first punch tonight. They weathered the storm of what Denver was doing in the first half, and then had a massive haymaker in this third quarter that Denver just couldn't really recover from. Will that carry over to game two? I don't know, but I think that you'll see a vastly more engaged Nikola Jokic. I think you'll see a more physical defense from this Nuggets group going forward. And it wouldn't surprise me if they still split heading into Denver in game three.
We're talking with Brian Blackburn of the Denver Stiffs, and of course you can follow him on Twitter at NBA Blackburn. The idea that this team needs to kind of get punched in the mouth, and this is a narrative we've heard around the Nuggets for years. I talked about it before you came on. In a sort of backwards way, I'm happier that the Nuggets lost by 17 than if they had lost by 4 or 6 points, because I think there's no way to ignore the things that they weren't doing tonight. Is that a reasonable way to look at it?
Of course. I think that a team like Denver, they know that they are just as good as the Suns. They know that they, when push comes to shove, that they can execute. They know their game plan. They know their strategies. They know that they can generate good shots down the stretch, and they have an MVP candidate that they can always fall back upon. When the game is a 17-point differential, it was larger than that at times, too. I think that this Nuggets team is going to have to look at it and say, okay, we have to make some major changes. Their pick-and-roll scheme tonight was torn apart by the Suns in the third and fourth quarter. They didn't have an answer for when the Suns were able to get around the hedge that Nikola Jokic was trying to put out there. If that's the case, Denver's going to have to play a little softer. They're going to have to play a little bit smarter, and they're going to have to play a little bit more physical on ball. So we're going to see if they can handle that. We're going to see if they can respond. They've shown time and time again that they do respond. And I know that the margin, they're going to look at it, like you said, and say, we are much better than this. We know that we are a good quality championship caliber team, and we're going to respond in kind.
The diversified offense that the Suns have. Now, there are some comparisons to Portland, but to my mind, it's much more well-rounded. We saw it tonight, 4 Suns in double figures, but it's not even the, 20 or more points, I should say. But it's not even that. It's the fact that Booker had 12 shots, Bridges had 12 shots, Ayton had 13 shots, Chris Paul had 14. This team is more than happy to move the ball around and find the guy that's open. This is not like it was with Portland, where in crunch time, it's going to Damian Lillard, and everyone in the building knows it. Devin Booker is maybe that kind of player in the early stages, but the Suns don't play that way. They find the open person wherever he is, and they let them take the shots. So the approach that the Nuggets took, knowing that they had kind of a game-breaking guy they were facing in Lillard, how did they change the way they played there to deal with an offense that certainly has more scorers all around the perimeter?
It's going to be tough, because all of those guys that you mentioned, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Mikal Bridges, DeAndre Ayton, they were all extremely efficient as well. It wasn't like those guys were playing an inefficient brand of basketball.
No.
In that one of them went 3 of 12 or 4 of 12. They're all at least 8 of 12, 8 of 14 from the field. And that's a really impressive mark for the Suns team. They remind me a lot of the Utah Jazz, that if the Jazz get their entire machine going, if you know that they are going to hit those shots, when they get the ball moved around and rotated, they're going to hit those shots because they're in rhythm. So the Nuggets are going to have to find ways to disrupt that rhythm. They're going to have to switch. They're going to have to hedge. They're going to have to mix up their pick-and-roll coverages as much as possible and keep the Suns guessing. Because if you let them get into a rhythm, if you let them understand what they're attacking, then they're going to continue to kill Denver. And that's what really stands out tonight from this, is that Denver played them basically one way, and the Suns were able to attack them and figure that out as the game went along. So I expect Michael Malone to really change things up going forward, to try to give them a couple of different looks. It's going to look a little bit weird. It's possible that they let Devin Booker try to shoot his way into another 47-point game. But if they stay home on the other players, then they might live with that. They're going to have to figure out how to do that and what's the best thing for them. I'm as curious as you as to how Michael Malone will handle it.
We're talking with Ryan Blackburn, and the idea, Ryan, of Michael Malone with in-game, and this is not the overblown, oh, no, Michael Malone's the wrong coach for the team. I don't think he is. I think he's the right coach. But this is now the second game in the postseason that we've seen in which Malone's opposition adjusted within game, and games got out of hand, and Malone either did not know what to adjust to or simply was too stubborn to adjust. Now that we've seen it twice here in seven games, and we've seen this before, this is, I think, a very real concern about the in-game changes that Michael Malone makes. Are you seeing something there that is progress in this, or is this just kind of who Michael Malone is as a coach?
It is, I think, possibly one of his blind spots, is that what he wants to do is he wants to ensure that the game plan is bad before adjusting the game plan. Because if you don't execute the game plan, then it's tough to figure out whether that was a personnel issue, whether that was something else, that if you're just missing assignments, then that's a different factor. For this Nuggets team, I tend to think that they do best, and Michael Malone does best, when they see the full game won, when they understand the changes that they have to make. That's something that they did against the Blazers in game one, and then it turns out they were able to win games two and three back-to-back by making that first adjustment when they didn't really have to do that much. All they had to do in that first round was to put Aaron Gordon on Damian Lillard. The Nuggets experimented with that tonight against Devin Booker. We will see if they continue to go to that. We'll see how aggressive they are in trapping Devin Booker going forward. I think that Michael Malone wants to see whether this Nuggets team can execute that game plan before going down. But it is a concern that they do go down pretty consistently without making those adjustments first.
Going over to the Michael Porter Jr. situation, came out, tweaked his back. The tweak was the term that Michael Malone used. Obviously came out with a bit of a rap from halftime. Part of the reason he did not close the game out is because they were concerned about the injury. When you're talking Michael Porter Jr. and back, obviously, you take a deep breath and hold it for a moment. The Nuggets believe it's not a major deal. He'll get some treatment. He'll be back on Wednesday. If that is not the case, and if Michael Porter Jr. is only playing at 60%, do the Nuggets have any chance in this series?
Well, they have a chance because they have Nikola Jokic. And when you have Nikola Jokic, he continues to elevate those around him, will continue to make them better. Although it does become a lot more difficult that if you take away one of his primary weapons, that he's going to have to do even more. He's shown that he is capable of it. He's shown that he is willing to go the distance in order to make those plays. And the Nuggets, they had a lot of guys outside of Michael Porter Jr. that just didn't shoot well tonight that can shoot better on other nights. And Monte Morris, Austin Rivers being chief among them. So it's going to be interesting to see whether this affects Michael Porter or not. It's a very unfortunate circumstance for Denver that it's a back injury. There's a tweak there. It's very I'm not sure the severity of this thing and whether it's something that's actually related to any of the back issues that Michael Porter had. The back is a very complex. There's a lot of muscles that go into it, and that's my guess into what he actually tweaked. But it's tough to speculate on something like that. And if Michael Malone says that he's good to go in game two, then I tend to believe him. I think he will be okay. Porter's had a couple of scares here or there, and he's looked fine most of the time coming back from them.
You talked about it, last one for you, Ryan. You talked about it, the effort level. You talked about how it was not there for the 48 minutes. Was it not there for the whole game? Because it looked to me for about the first half looked pretty good. The early part, they came out really on a good run at the beginning of the third. Did they just run out of gas, or is this something the Nuggets sort of thought they had it? When did the effort level wane?
It certainly felt like they ran out of gas. Some of these things will spiral on top of each other, because if you don't hit shots and then you see that the Suns are making some really difficult looks, and then you make a couple bad plays here or there, and suddenly it's a 10-0 run that turns into a 16-0 run, and it can spiral pretty quickly. And the Nuggets are going to have to figure out how to stem the tide going forward, because this is a game, like, basketball is a game of runs. It's very consistent that the Nuggets are going to have to be mentally tough when in these situations. I thought they got a little bit rattled. Perhaps it was by the full crowd that was at the Phoenix Suns Talking Stick Resort Arena. But we're going to see whether they can respond in game two. Nikola Jokic sounds like he is going to respond in a good way. He knows what he has to do. Jamichael Green said that they were playing soft and that they know that this is a wake-up call for them. If that's the case, if we're going to get a better effort in game two, then I tend to give them a little bit of a pass in the first game on the road in a series. It's game one. It's a long series. I expect this thing to still go deep. As long as everybody stays healthy and engaged, and perhaps Denver gets some reinforcements here in the backcourt soon, that I think will change this series just a little bit.
He is Ryan Blackburn, the host of the Pickaxe and Roll podcast, and of course, the man at Denver Stiffs. Make sure you check it out at denverstiffs.com. Great website. Thank you for the time tonight, Ryan. It was fun talking to you.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Sean. Have a good night.
Thank you very much. Ryan Blackburn, follow him on Twitter, by the way, at NBA Blackburn. The Nuggets fall tonight in game one, 122-105, in a game that was close, and then the air kind of went out of the balloon. We'll keep digging into this loss next.